The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
A pleasure to welcome Roisin Shortall, co-leader of Social Democrats, who is also, of course, a former health minister, and Fergus Finlay, who I didn't know until I read his recent column. We know him, former CEO of Barnardo's, Irish Examiner columnist, but in his tender youth, one of his first jobs was to act as a shop steward, a union official for staff in long-term care facilities. Both welcome to the programme. Roisin, for me, the big issue here is was there a systemic failure in relation to the clinical care, the testing of patients in relation to nursing homes? And was it a case that it was possible that some of the transmission into nursing homes was due to discharges of patients who may have had the disease but weren't tested from acute hospitals into nursing homes? Do we get any clarity on that today?
Good afternoon, Ivan. I think the very high number of tragic deaths in the nursing homes has pointed to policy failures on a whole lot of different fronts. And I just drew attention to a few of those in my contribution today. I mean, obviously the question of the two-tier health service is a problem, but also we know that traditionally social care has been treated as the poor relation of the health service. And when I say social care, you know, I'm talking about care for older people, care for people with disabilities, care for people with mental health issues, all of those critical social care areas. And really they have lost out badly over the years because they have been starved of funding, but also they've had a low priority within the health service. But, you know, the other thing is that over recent years, there's been a huge shift in the way in which care is provided for older people. And that has resulted in about 80% of nursing homes being privatised. So nursing homes are seen in the main now as good investment opportunities by, you know, different financial funds, rather than a key part of the healthcare service. And that's been a real problem. Also, when you look at the way in which the supports for older people operate, and through the Fair Deal in particular, there's a very definite incentive there for older people to go into nursing homes for care rather than being able to access home care. And you have to bear in mind, of course, that older people by choice want to stay in their own home. They want to be supported to live independently for as long as
possible. Okay, Roisin, but those are policy points that we could debate at any time in relation to care of the elderly. And my specific question to you today is, from the committee, did we establish how the transmission got into nursing homes and where it came from? And could it have come from acute hospitals?
So the reason why I mentioned all of those policy issues, Ivan, is because that is the policy context in which you have to look at this. And, you know, it was very telling today that HICWA pointed to the fact that they said that although 80% of nursing homes are operated by private operators and they're funded through the Fair Deal scheme, that the HSE did not know this sector. I mean, that's an incredible statement to make, that the HSE didn't know this key sector that cares for up to 30,000 older people. And they also made the point very clearly, and you had it in your own headlines, that in addition, the current model of private residential care for older people has no formal clinical governance links with the HSE. So what that's saying is that the nursing home sector in the main is disconnected from the health service and disconnected from the HSE. The HSE has no clinical governance, so it is operating as a private enterprise in the main, and that has contributed hugely to the fact that there weren't early warning systems, there was inadequate PPE, that, you know, there were questions about staffing and low ratios of nurses to residents, and also that informal way or casual way of employing so many staff within the health service, where, you know, they were coming and going, moving from one nursing home to another. And, you know, all of these factors that contributed to unfortunate, tragic circumstances that resulted in so many...
But my question was a very specific one. Was there any solution to the question or any response? Was it possible that people brought COVID into nursing homes from discharges from acute hospitals? Yes or no?
That specific point was made by the private nursing home sector. And I questioned Tadhg Daly on that, and he didn't provide any data to support that. That is, you know, a suggestion that he's making without providing any detail. And we know that the chief medical officer disputes that contention. So I've asked, you know, is there data there? What about that 500 or 600 people who were moved from acute hospitals into private nursing homes? And he wasn't able to provide any information.
All right,
on
that's
that.
Fair. So maybe there needs to be a further investigation. All right, okay.
Yes,
you've answered the question. Okay, the other point I want to put to you before I come to Fergus Finlay is a political point. I heard the news and everyone said, oh, did you see the row between Deputy Fergus O'Dowd of Fine Gael and the Tadhg Daly of Nursing Homes Ireland? And I said, all right, my antennae, and I'll be quite frank about it, I thought it was an attempt to change the narrative, millionaire private nursing home owners culpable as opposed to dealing with systemic issues. And a couple of texters said, seems to me Fergus O'Dowd didn't have the skill or wit to dress up his attack on the witness from the NHI as anything other than what it was, politically motivated and based on Department of Health and HSE briefing. And another, Fergus O'Dowd's comments in the Dáil today display a complete lack of understanding and total ignorance in relation to the situation in nursing homes. The issue was not funding, the issue was access to PPE and lack of clear advice from the HSE and NPHET. The government dropped the ball on this and are now trying to shift the blame onto the nursing home sector. What say you, Roisin?
Well, I have to say, Ivan, I was amazed at the contribution from Fergus O'Dowd. My first reaction was that he had a brass neck. He's a member of a party that has been in government for 9 years that is responsible for those policies that I outlined at the beginning, which led to a situation where nobody was really in charge of the nursing homes. And that's the problem. And I think I would agree with your texters. There was a very deliberate attempt to switch the focus away from government policy and government failings in this area and to try and put it on the private nursing home sector. Now, I'm not saying that they're without blame by any means, but a lot of those issues that arose which led to the tragic deaths and the very widespread prevalence of COVID in the nursing homes are as a result of government policy.
Well, you can't be clearer than that. Stay with us, please, Roisin. Now, Fergus Finlay, I didn't know one of your first jobs was it a shop steward for elderly care?
I was a full-time official, Ivan, and I worked, a significant number of my members worked in actually the precursor to nursing homes. The nursing home system in Ireland, as we know it today, only really began to develop in the 80s. It's a very, very recent phenomenon, Before that, you must remember them, Ivan. There were
the county homes. The Brownswood in New Ross in St. John's and Enniscorthy.
Exactly.
And you know what? I witnessed myself, and I'd be canvassing there. There would literally be rows in a dormitory of very elderly people with their mouth open. And, you'd have to raise questions about the quality of care.
Well, of course. That's where I worked in the 70s in places that were full of dormitories, with very, very frail, vulnerable, elderly people who were not well-treated, any more than the people who worked there were well-treated. I tried to describe in my piece today that, you know, there were all sorts of wonderful people who did their damnedest, and one or two bad apples as well. But the system was one where the poor came to die in these institutions, and they were set up as institutions. Some of them were built in Wexford and other places on sites where the workhouses had been before, and that's the legacy. That's where our philosophy of elderly care has come from. I mean, everything Roisin has said is absolutely 100% right. We have a crisis in nursing home care now because half, maybe two thirds, maybe three quarters, middle class people go to private nursing homes. Poor people go to state provision, and state provision is no better than the private provision in terms of, you know, daily standards. Many individual places are fantastic. The good ones are good because of the people who work in them and the people who run them individually. I do want to make just make one statement of fact, Ivan, because you did make a statement earlier about, you know, the state being the place where people have, the most people have died. 4 out of every 5 people who have died in a nursing home in Ireland have died in a private nursing home. And they have died in a nursing home where they pay, roughly speaking, 5,000 a month for their care. It's a very, very expensive place to go to die. And 4 out of every 5 who've died as a consequence of the virus have died in those private settings, not in public settings. None of that is to gainsay the fact that we need to know, Ireland needs to know, HSE needs to know, system needs to know why it happened in the way it happened. What could we have done better? I don't know if you know this, and I'm not going to speak on behalf of the HSE, although I am a member of the board of the HSE. I didn't come on to speak on that basis, but I do know something about this as a consequence of that. I don't know anyone in the HSE at any level, high, low or middle, who doesn't want to know what we could have done better, how we could have prevented some of these deaths. We do know that older people are far more vulnerable to death from the virus than younger people are. We know, everybody in the world knows that. And we do know that the vast majority of people who have died have been elderly and vulnerable people. Is there more we could have done? I mean, I listened to all the debate about PPE. And yes, of course, if only we could have got more PPE wherever it was needed. But I was witness to some of the battles that went on to try and get hold of any PPE, some of the investment decisions that had to be made to try and ensure PPE. And I believe myself that the HSE has done an absolutely phenomenal job in terms of PPE and in terms of protecting the vast number of people. But when this is over, when this has settled down, we need to find out other things we could have done better. We need to find the places, and I know some of them, I've been in some of them. We need to find the places where nobody died, and we need to figure out what they did right. I could name you a half a dozen places close to here where nobody died, both public and private, and some run by the voluntary sector. And we need to find out why that happened. What was the difference in terms of standards? What was the difference at the gate? A doctor said to me...
Can I ask you, do you have an answer to that?
No, I don't. I don't know why. A doctor said to me recently that in the early days of the coronavirus, before we knew everything we knew, the most likely transmitter of the coronavirus within nursing homes was their most regular health visitor, which was a local GP. That local GPs, without any malice or without any fault, were carrying the virus around with them. Some of them became infected themselves and so on. But they were the people who were going in and out on a medical basis into nursing homes morning, noon and night, whenever anybody fell ill. And those possibilities exist. Nobody knows the answer, Ivan. And I mean, I'm staggered by the number of people who seem to know that it was the state's fault or that it was the private sector's fault or that it was the millionaire's fault. Nobody knows the answer.
Okay. Just on your first point, yeah. I think I'm right in saying there was one facility, state-owned, in which 21 people died.
Yes.
And in fairness now, I actually know the 4 out of 5 figure, and it's a very valid point to make. And look, there's no question.
I don't want to use the word worst, okay? I don't want to use the word worst, Ivan, but That seems to me to imply blame, and I'm not...
No, what I'm saying, though, it's not exclusively in private facilities.
In the 6 worst facilities in Ireland, 200 people died in 6 institutions. 5 of them were private. 1 of them was public. And, you know, all those figures are available, and all that data is available. Yes, there's been a huge focus on St. Mary's as a state-run institution in the Phoenix Park, a place where, you know, it was one of the things that started me thinking about this, because that's one of the places I had members back in the 70s. It wasn't what they called a geriatric home then.
There was something you said there I just want to pick up on, which was that there's no one in the HSE doesn't want to get to the bottom of what happened and what could be done better in a similar circumstance.
Yeah. And I presume the same is true in the Department of Health. Yeah. And I presume
my question to you is this. What is the best vehicle? given the committee today and so on, what is the best vehicle? Because by and large, the death toll, Ireland, for a number of reasons, has had an incredibly low death toll, with the one exception of these long-stay institutions. And therefore, just focusing on that question, what do you think is the appropriate mechanism? Because you've vast experience in government and so on, with Dick Spring and so on, of investigating matters. What is the fairest way to deal with that?
I'm not trying to evade the question, Ivan. You're asking a complicated question, because what happens when you have judicial inquiries, and what happens when you have, the kind of various mechanisms that we've employed in the past, is that people lawyer up. Everybody gets very defensive. There's a sworn inquiry going on at the moment into the abuse of a child. It's been going on for 3 years, and we're no closer to an answer. You know the inquiry, I mean, the Grace case. And it's been going on for years and years. We're no closer to an answer. I honestly believe that if you want to answer something like this, you start on the basis of saying, this is not a lynch mob. This is a place where we want to find out what happened so that we can make things better in the future. And you put a person, or two people, or three people. I think what Gabriel Scally did in relation to cervical check was a profoundly important piece of public service. We learned an awful lot from it, and it was a very good way of going about it.
Roisin, can I put that to you? Because this is a matter for the Dáil. You know, there is tribunal legislation, there's inquiry legislation. You've had the Dr. Scally cervical cancer investigation and smear testing. What's your view as to just the question of the death toll of these institutions? Because, you know, someone has texted me, why have we had nearly 900 deaths in nursing homes when Hong Kong, twice our population, didn't have one death in a nursing home because they prioritised them, asks Tony. So, Roisin, what do you think is the most effective form of investigation?
Well, I would be very well disposed to the suggestion made by Fergus there about a Gabriel Scally type examination of the actual facts and the sequence of events that led to this. And, you know, that needs to be done in a very open way, so that it isn't about pointing the finger. It is about finding out where there were problems in the system and how we can do things better. And, for example, today, while I was questioning HICWA, it transpired that, you know, on an annual basis, HICWA carries out infection control investigations in nursing homes. And they would identify a number of nursing homes where there were high risks in relation to infection control. And, you know, they come back the following year and see, you know, have new measures been put in place to address that. They told us today that they drew up a list of high-risk nursing homes at the start of the COVID outbreak, and that they submitted that list to the Department of Health. Now, it would be very interesting to know, is there a correlation between some of the nursing homes on that list and those small number of nursing homes where
indeed,
there were large
very good question.
It would be good to follow that up.
Can you explain,
and to see
either
if the
of you,
department did anything?
Okay, finally, because we're getting tight on time, just can either of you explain this to me? Because we've had, even 8 weeks ago, people saying in Rome that they were listening to the radio and they got a test and they got a result within hours. We've heard people from Sweden and elsewhere talking about blood tests within hours. In a situation where people are returning to work, and in a situation in Wuhan where every citizen is now being tested again, and we're going to have repeat testing and ongoing testing, why is it that if an employer, for example, just say News Talk, wanted to test everyone, that why is it just the public authority? Because you have private labs like Enfer doing the test. Can you explain to me, Fergus, why, you know, anyone who wants to pay for a test, either themselves or whatever, can't get it done? Of course there'll be national testing. Why is it that there's kind of this monopoly of testing only through...
I think we'll get there, Ivan. We're not there yet. I think we'll get there. We built a testing infrastructure from the ground up in 6 or 7 weeks in Ireland, as other countries have had to do as well. And you know, bear in mind, 2 months ago, if somebody had come onto your programme and started talking about testing and tracing, you'd have to stop them and say, what the hell are you talking about? We don't understand these concepts. So, like, you know, this is all new stuff. We will get to the point where, instant testing and private testing.
But it was new stuff in Austria. Like, it was new stuff everywhere.
Yes, of course, of course. And you know, rich countries do better. I want to make 2 points, Ivan. I know
okay.
you haven't time.
Okay, no, go. Go for it, yeah.
The point about Singapore, the point about Asia. It's very important to remember that there's a cultural difference in Asia, between Asia and us. Asian elderly people don't go to nursing homes. They are cared for at home. That's part of the culture
okay.
of Asia.
Point taken.
And
second point?
The second point is, in any inquiry, in any recommendation, in any future, we need to address exactly the point Roisin was making. How do we facilitate people to live at home with support and in dignity, rather than, you know, give people... We give people a statutory right to claim 6,000 a month for a nursing home. We won't give them a statutory right for 2,000 a month for home care. What the hell is that about?
Well, and just to add to that,
Jim Daly promised that for 18 months he was on this radio station, saying he was Minister for the Elderly and he wanted to introduce an in the home equivalent
to
Fair Deal.
In government, not in opposition.
Right. finally, last word to you, Roisin.
Yeah, I mean, just to add to that point there, you know, older people themselves want to stay at home. That's a really important thing, and that must be respected. But we also know that you get the best health outcomes by older people being at home, being, you know, as independent as possible, having friends and neighbours around them and the normal kind of their familiar circumstances. So what we need to do is take a whole new approach to providing services for older people. And we need to have, you know, better cooperation between housing and healthcare to ensure that we support older people in the choices that they want to make, to enable them to stay at home, to get support at the point when they need it. Because that's what they want themselves, and that's where they do best.
All right. My sincere thanks to Roisin Shortall, who came on at short notice, given that Fergus O'Dowd dropped out, and Fergus Finlay, columnist with the Irish Examiner, and now, I didn't know this, board member of the HSE.
The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan. Innovation that excites.